Welcome to Heroes of the Hydean Way. This is the live play podcast that explores published adventures set in Fantasy Flight Games' Star Wars RPG line. Our current adventure is Mask of the Pirate Queen, and this is part 2 of Act 1, Episode 1, A Proposal in Paradise. If you haven't already listened to part 1, I recommend starting there. With all of that out of the way, a long time ago, in a galaxy far, far away.
Oh, I recognize that face. You're in trouble, aren't you? Well, I'll take you out to the Outer Rim, but I don't think it's going to do you much good. Why? Well, there's a new bounty hunting group. You haven't heard?
There's a two-faced Twi'lek and a pugilist droid. If I were you, I'd do my best to avoid the Solonian captain and the Gandroid tech. Better watch your back or you're gonna get wrecked. The riding on the sky on fire. Heading to the edge of the Empire. Your number's up and now you gotta pay. Running from the heroes of the Hydean Way.
So, screen wipe of the four of you are walking up. It actually is the Paradise is a cantina that is pretty close to the spaceport. On the outside, you can see a large Aqualish in a dark green suit standing near the entrance, opening the door for a couple coming in, then watching a Nikto as they go out, and even a Bothan as they walk down the road past the Bubsy Wood doors. The Aqualish waves you in as soon as the four of you pull up, focusing on Berwyn and then Cav, and then looking up to Billy, giving a nod to Billy, and then opening the heavy doors and giving a sweep of the arm with his free hand.
Billy will return the nod and step in.
So what kind of cantina is the Paradise? Like, what's the vibe in here? Is this, you know, higher class? Is this lower class? Do they offer food here?
Do they have biscuits?
The question that you really wanted to ask.
The interior of the cantina is dim and smells of smoke and distilled drinks. Though the Paradise is furnished like any other cantina on the Outer Rim, there's a subtle buzz of business in the air. The patrons seem to concentrate more on their hushed conversations than their drinks. As you stand in the entryway, your eyes adjusting to from Seleucami's gloom to the cantina's, a male Twi'lek in a crisp brown suit approaches you.
You have come to see Van Lana. I will take you to see her.
Yes, please do that.
And he'll turn on his heel, raising his right hand in the air with a finger waving to follow. And he heads towards the rear of the cantina.
Berwyn will follow along and kind of look at the rest of the crew to do the same.
As we're walking towards the back of the room, Cav is going to sort of just click at Cav's droids to keep their eyes open. Just in GAN, K1 does not translate, realizing Cav is talking to them as we are walking further in. How's Vastrano acting like walking into this cantina?
Oh, I think Vastrano is totally placid-faced, just trying to look very professional.
The other thing Cav will do as we're sort of walking towards towards the back room to meet Van Lana, Cav will sort of like look over and actually does kind of like give Vastrano sort of the look up and down and say,
the new coat looks good on you.
I think Vastrano will do that thing where he kind of like pulls on his collar a little bit, pulls it a little bit straighter, gives a kind of nod up. Yeah, I think I do look pretty good.
Cav's mandibles sort of spread and the most horrifying smile, the sort of smile that will give you nightmares. But you know that means Cav is happy.
If no one's peeling off to like try and get a drink or something, the Twi'lek gets to the back door and you see a very heavy metal door. Like, the outer ones were wood. This is, it's decorated, but is truly a metal door. The Twi'lek would go up to this featureless metal door and push it open. As he does, he gives the subtle swipe with his arm for, please, after you.
Billy will again kind of do that, it's not really a bow, it's just a nod, but it's clearly intended that way, and goes in.
Vistrano's going to go in, but I also would like to think that because Vistrano is fairly used to this sort of world, that he probably would be keeping his eye out, just like for signs that he kind of would like recognize that maybe things are off or weird.
I was kind of thinking the same thing, like we know Vinlana, we transported her before, you know, but like, does everything feel okay? Or is this Twi'lek tense at all? Is there?
No, the Twi'lek isn't tense at all. If anything, it looks like, you know how it's been, you know how some people are after a long, boring day and then finally something interesting happens? That's kind of how he's at. Like, he's a little bit more awake, but you can tell he's sort of working through the drudge of being around here.
So he's pleased to have something to do.
Kinda. Or something out of the normal. As you enter the room, looking around, you can see that the room beyond the metal door is lit by a series of carved crystal globes hanging from the ceiling. A large conference table dominates the center of the room, surrounded by very comfortable-looking chairs. To your left, a bar gleams with glasses and a wide array of bottles. In the middle of the bar is a tray of biscuits with a small plate of spreads. Vinlana is sitting at the table to start with, and she'll stand up, looking at you with a welcoming smile on her lips. She starts over towards the bar and makes a gesture somewhat like Barrowin's earlier of, please, have whatever you want.
Are there any non-alcoholic drinks?
Yes, there's some alcoholic, there's a wide range of mixers, and there's juices as well.
Cav will go in and grab some kind of, like, juice, something sweet, as well as a biscuit.
Barrowin will take something, you know, lightly alcoholic. She doesn't want to appear that she's, like, distrustful or ungrateful for the hospitality, but she also doesn't want to get, like, really intoxicated.
I think that Vistrano is sort of trying very hard to make sure that he doesn't act or do anything before Barrowin does, just because of pecking order. So we'll wait to see what Barrowin orders, and then probably get something a little bit more alcoholic, because, you know, come on.
Billy will take a seat.
And as you're going, Vinlana, like, yeah, Vinlana's,
at last, I thought this day would never come. It's been a long while since I've traveled with you, and your reputations have certainly grown since the last time we crossed paths.
Cav sort of like puffs out Cav's chest at that compliment.
We've had a few adventures.
As the three of you are heading over and Billy's taking a seat, the Twi'lek enters a room, closes the metal door, and stands in front of it, his hands behind his back, stoically observing everyone in the room.
Does he seem like he is keeping watch, or he's just on hand to serve as necessary?
Okay, this really is one of those points where I just go, yes. He's a sort of a yes to all above.
He's a multifunction door standard.
Just in case we decide that we've just had it with Vinlana and are going to burn the entire adventure down, he's going to try to stop us.
Okay, in that case, I have to open the book, but I'm totally with that.
Suddenly, he's, like, super-powered and can just knock us all out with his mind.
Yeah, he's a Jedi. He's a super Jedi.
No, Ben has rolled with our craziness before. If we want to really test this adventure...
The Pirate Queen is us all along.
Nope, suddenly the Pirate Queen is Varin.
That's why the Pirate Queen
that
wears a mask.
That would be the best thing ever.
Okay, so the way the conference table is set up is very classic negotiation style. Vinlana has her book and folders in that on her side, and on the hero side, there is 4 stacks of credits sitting in front of the 4 seats for you.
Baron will take one of those seats. I think Billy's already sitting down.
The stack is for 500 credits.
Appearance fee?
Cav asks as Cav will take another one of the seats beside Barrowin.
We're very important, Cav.
And retainer.
And Vistrana will take the last remaining seat.
Cav utters a couple more clicks that are not translated, namely telling K3, start taking notes.
All right, Vinlana, we came a little bit of a ways to meet you. What is it you've got for us?
She actually does that little bit of a preparatory slump in shoulders and then looks between the 4 of you into the eyes or photoreceptors.
While as a shipping concern, we're always assuming that there'll be some losses in transit, and that's expected and accounted for. The Zahn Consortium shipments recently have been unusually beset by pirates of late. After some investigation, we have uncovered the identity of these criminals. A band of brigands referred to as the Veiled Sorority. Despite the name, it does not discriminate by gender or even species. However, only women have been permitted to assume positions of leadership within this organization. We are interested in bringing this band of pirates to its knees.
What do we know about the Zahn Consortium and the Veiled Sorority?
I don't know. Has Barrowin seen some things?
Okay, that does sound like a underworld check? Underworld check.
Knowledge underworld. Group check or individual?
Considering that this is sort of being done at the table, I'm going to go with individual.
Difficulty?
Which one do you want first, the Zahn Consortium or the Veiled Sorority?
Let's do the Zahn Consortium first.
All right, in which case that is an average or 2 purple underworld check.
Ben, a question. So given they can sort of like chirp quickly in binary and stuff, could K3, 4, 5, and 6 assist Cav on this, or rather Cav assist them if info kind of comes up?
What even?
I'm going to go with, well, they can, but it's probably going to be considered very uncouth.
Bad manners?
Yeah.
Cav is a one presence. I don't think, and these are kind of baby droids, I think sort of excited to be like, oh, I know that one. I know it. So I think we're going to do it.
All right.
Because all 4 of Cav's new droids have Knowledge Underworld as a skill for their little minion group.
I like that they're baby droids.
They are baby droids. They are Cav's children.
I mean, yeah, they're like...
Oh my goodness.
2 weeks old.
There's a furious amount of chirping and binary over there. Kind of a cacophony.
We've all heard about the Zahn Consortium, but the droids have heard the most.
Yeah.
For listeners, I got 6 successes, 2 threats, and a triumph.
So, as all of you know, the Zahn Consortium is an up-and-coming criminal organization operating out of the Outer Rim. Thankfully, this isn't binary, though it does look like the Twi'lek sort of twist their head and can be seen possibly understanding it as well. I'm going to go with K4 would be the one, the green one, is able to come up with that. Although the Zahn Consortium is tolerated by other syndicates, such as Black Sun or Crimson Dawn, there are whispers that the two are preparing to either ally with one another or go to war.
With the Zahn Consortium or together against the Zahn?
Yeah, that Black Sun is possibly going to war with the Zahn Consortium. One of the things that Vistrano knows about him is that the Consortium is ruthless in its pursuits of profits. No crime seems to be too immoral as long as it garners money and power.
So I guess we all share significant looks.
Yeah.
Since we all got some successes, I assume that yeah, there's at least like, parts of that everybody just already knows without having to exchange.
Pretty much.
I like there's only one failure in all those purple dice. It was mostly just threats. Like, we all know.
Yeah. It just makes all of us nervous. Except for Vastrano, who had an advantage.
He's just like, oh yeah, those guys.
I think that he probably would just look over at Barrowin to make sure that Barrowin understands what's going on, but...
To bring this band of pirates to its knees, we are issuing a bounty for its leader, referred to as the Queen. Beyond her title, we have been unable to procure any concrete data on her identity, location, or background. Should you agree to take this contract, it will be your responsibility to bring her to our justice. Dead or alive, with proof that it is indeed the Queen that it is you deliver.
Do you know where we can start to look? Or anything that might narrow it down? This is a big galaxy.
Right as you ask, Venlana is going to smile. Venlana is going to remove a small datapad from the inside pocket of her jacket, activating it. She scans its screen briefly before.
Your first lead is an individual named Graf Lind. He was one of the sorority's brigands until he lost favor with them 6 years ago. Though nearly killed by his former associates, he managed to escape. We have discovered his current whereabouts, a dwelling in a local slum. His information is surely outdated, but he may have valuable intelligence.
It's a start.
The second lead is Criso Wastanti. He is a fence who operates his business near the starport. He came to our attention when he attempted to sell one of our agents some of our own goods, pillaged in one of the sorority's recent raids. He must have some connection to the pirates, given he is obviously dealing in goods they have stolen.
And with that, you can see her upper lip get a little bit twitchy.
The last lead isn't a person as much as a resource. Our slices uncovered a data node called SororiNet, though ostensibly used to schedule tours of Seleucumai's more rugged wastelands. The name alone is suspicious, and its security level is far too high for a merely tourism outfit. Should you have expertise in slicing, you might be able to learn more there.
Where did these slicers gain access to this net?
It is a local net here on Seleucumai. Ostensibly, from what I've seen from my assistant here's showings, is merely an info cache that one uses to book expeditions into the surrounding craters from Tulukama.
So at a travel agency? Something of that nature?
Yes.
What makes you think it has anything to do with the Pirate Queen?
The name, Barrowin.
Yes. Yes, we do believe that SororiNet is a thumbing of the nose, as it were.
It could be a false lead, but Cav thinks it is still worth checking out.
Anything that's on the planet's worth looking into, especially since we don't have very much to go on to begin with. No identity, no location. Sounds like not very much at all.
Now, Venlana said that this is a dead or alive bounty. However, Venlana did not say how much this bounty was posted for.
And with that, you can see just an absolute predatory grin.
The Zahn Consortium is prepared to offer each member of your crew 10,000 credits for successfully completing this contract, minus the retainer that has already been paid, of course. Should your performance be exceptional, a variety of bonuses may also be applied to your final compensation.
The Consortium really wants this queen apprehended. Well, the Consortium has hired the right crew.
I'm sorry. A disgraced bounty hunter and a brand new bounty hunter and a couple of losers that are traveling with them.
We've got a rabbit.
Oh, and a moderately capable pilot navigator and a bunny. We are so sad. Sorry.
Cav has a point. But I'm curious, actually on a few levels, why do it this way? My understanding is that you could probably take care of this more directly.
The amount of shipping that the Zong Consortium has in the go at any given time, it would be far, far too cost inefficient for us to arm every convoy, and for it to pass through completely independently, again, would turn into inefficient shipping. If we send a bounty hunting crew after the Queen, it is believed that this shall be a much, much more efficient methodology of taking out this young upstart's crew.
Okay. Question two. Why us?
Because we're the best, Barrowin.
Kev?
Yes?
Humor me. The guild doesn't exactly acknowledge me all that much, and, you know, she kind of motions at Kev.
Kev smiles and thinks Barrowin is complimenting Kev. It sort of like puffs up again.
Surely for this kind of credits you could get, I don't know, Bosk.
Bosk. Bosk isn't better than us.
He's more famous than us.
Well, infamy is a much traded upon currency. It is with a group that I have seen deal with an unexpected instance and deal with it well while still making it to their destination on time. You, Miss Barrowin, and your crew have shown that you have what it takes to get a job done. It is with you that I trust that your bounty hunter's license and guild membership are still valid is but a bonus.
All right. So, no identity, no location, a handful of leads, a lot of money, the whole pirate gang.
It's night and we're wearing sunglasses.
Cav is.
I think Vastrana can see that Barrowin is sort of mulling this over a little bit. And so Vastrana is going to kind of do a little bit of a lean. So you said it's dead or alive. Do you have a preference?
No, I do not. As long as you bring proof that the person that is dead is the queen, or the person that you bring is as well the queen, that is the core of it.
What counts as proof if you don't know who she is?
We have seen recordings from the wreckage from one of our convoys. A person with a very identifiable mask.
But surely the nature of a mask is that it is removable.
In the experience of the consortium, this is unique.
So the mask counts. Can we get that in writing?
As you ask that, she'll take the small data pad that she was reading from, and she'll skitter it across the tabletop to Barrowin.
Barrowin will look at it.
The information that we have, the location of these people, it is all in there, as is the terms.
All right. Barrowin will pass the data pad to Kev.
Kev is going to start scrolling through it. Kev is looking for, trying to find anything that might not be, you know, in beneficial to us, any sort of catches, as well as Kav is trying to see sort of what are the Zong Consortium's responsibilities in all this.
The basic contract is deliver the, like, there isn't a huge amount of legalese. It almost literally is could be put into the wanted poster. They want, like, they've got a amazingly grained out recording vid of the Pirate Queen's mask. The Consortium's representative, Vinlana, will pay the crew of the Sky on Fire 10,000 credits each for the delivery of the Pirate Queen, with proof that the person delivered is the Pirate Queen.
Is there anything else you want to clear up, Kev?
Kev has two questions for Vinlana. The first is, Kev understands that Vinlana has to protect the interests of the Consortium, but have there been any specific sort of goods that the pirates have been targeting. Meds, arms,
slaves.
Slaves, very good.
As you may or may not know, the Zhang Consortium traffics at times in commodities that most authorities would choose to restrict. We've been unable to determine a specific link between the contents of the stolen shipments aside from the valuable nature, of course.
The second question is, if the crew uncovers enough information to determine where the Pirate Queen may strike next, could the crew enlist the consortium's assistance in laying a trap?
While we do expect a fifth attack to happen soon, we prefer this contract to be completed before that attack happens. If it can be handled on planet, that is much more to the consortium's liking.
Of course, Cav is merely thinking of a fallback plan.
Out of character, that was not Cav's fallback plan.
Good cover.
I like to think that having been where Vistarno just was for several years, he's seen a lot of sort of bounty hunter sort of, you know, contractual talks go down. And it has just clicked in his head that this crew does not have like a schmoozer. Like someone to...
Used to.
Well, but you know, Starno has not seen you guys work that particular magic. So...
I can help people schmooze.
Well, Cobb is going over the data pad and Barrowin is... I'm not quite sure what Barrowin is doing right now. Pondering.
She's toying with the credits in front of her.
I think that Vistarno would start to try to just pleasantry with Venlana.
Are you flirting?
No, not flirting. Yet.
It sounds like flirting.
So while they're going over all the details, what brings you here? Okay, fine. He's flirting.
Cav looks up from the data pad and sort of like shoots Vistarno a look.
Vistarno will shoot another look back. Like, this is the way it's done.
Venlana's going to sort of look between Vistarno, Barrowin, the Twi'lek.
One might say that the consortium requires a representative to be around certain spaceports, especially some such as Seleucumai. And one might say that I would be the local representative.
Barrowin is prepared to jump back in whenever you're done, but if you have other things to do.
Yes, please.
Barrowin doesn't want to interrupt, but if Vistarno is in over his head, Barrowin will bail him out.
Oh, Vistarno absolutely is.
I think we can do this for you, Venlana, but even with the lead, it's not quite as much to start with as I might like. I'm not sure that this... We might need a little more credits up front. To make sure we can get this done.
Well, if you are finding yourself in need, which is what I am hearing, then I believe we can shift the retainer to a full 1,000, if that would be acceptable.
1,000 apiece, correct?
But of course, yes.
I don't know, these leads may not pan out. And even if they do, we may need to spread some credits around to make that happen. How about 1,500 each? That'll be more than enough to cover any expenses that I can imagine we might encounter.
Nice.
You want this done, don't you? Fast?
Okay, that... To me, that sounds like a negotiation roll.
That's what I'm going for.
Just a lot.
I wish there was a way I could help, because I have negotiation.
Oh, I see how it is. Somebody flip a point back.
Take it. Flip that point. And don't forget, I am looming nearby.
Great. Well, remind me what looming gives me?
If you succeed, you get to add advantage per rank.
Okay, so it doesn't affect my pool, but it coercion. Will make the success better.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, cool. Can I also signal Vrebo to get the sky on fire within short range of us?
No.
Might be a little
You should have set that up beforehand.
I'm telling you, floating model.
I did contemplate asking Vinlana to come to us, but I didn't think it would get there very far. Okay, so what's my difficulty?
Okay, so your difficulty in negotiating with Vinlana...
probably awful.
Would be 4 red.
4 red. Is that after the destiny point is taken into
account? That is after the destiny point is taken into account.
Well, you did ask for 1,500 credits a piece. Yeah. That is more money than we made, I think, for the last job.
Yeah. The last job was very straightforward. All right, so a setback.
Like, you are asking for such a large amount at...
Right, I understand why. Outset. Just one setback.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, just one setback. I thought I heard why.
No. I understand why. I was just verifying that I was putting the right number of dice.
Yeah, it's just one setback, yes.
Is this a situation that anybody can assist, since we're all in the room?
I would go with, yeah, Vastrano could, but, like, Billy's looming and Kev is sort of taken up in the datapad.
Billy is looming in that very quiet, polite way where you know that she's not actually going to interfere unless she has to.
Sure, so, Britt, does Vastrano... what's Vastrano's presence? I think our negotiation is the same.
My presence is 3.
Oh. I see. Presence is higher than Barrowin's, which is not surprising, considering Salonians start with a 1. So yeah, if Vastrano can assist, that does make a difference.
Yeah, Vastrano can assist.
Okay, so here we go. This is going to be fun. 3 yellows, 4 reds, and a setback.
You got this!
I know, Kev. I know.
Can we have a boost because she likes us?
I don't know if that's true.
I was working that angle.
And this is business.
Oh my god!
Oh my gosh!
Oh wow! Brandon, what did you roll?
Okay, so... in this daring negotiation, Barrowin comes out with 1 success. Well, Barrowin and Vastrano together. 1 success, 4 threat, and a triumph.
I'm pretty sure the triumph is from the wink.
Almost certainly.
I wouldn't say it was a wink so much as maybe an attempted smolder.
An eyebrow waggle?
Yes. Casual lean.
Oh, right. And so Loom, how many ranks of Loom do you have?
I have 1 rank in coercion, so you get to drop down to 3 threat.
Okay, that's not nothing.
Especially since 4 is rather worrying.
Yep. 3 is still worrying.
You drive a hard bargain, Barrowin, but you do make some decent points. Porel, if you would please give the crew here the credits, and do take note that it is an expansion of the retainer.
Okay, so what are you willing to do with the triumph?
Thoughts, anybody?
Is there extra information she could impart?
She gave us a data pad full of information.
But maybe something personal that she knows. I mean, clearly she's been around the block. She knows what she's up to. She's seen things.
Sure. I don't have a strong leaning about what the triumph is going to do necessarily. I suppose I wouldn't mind the triumph essentially amounting to she kind of takes this as a business transaction that she was more or less prepared for, but wasn't going to offer unless we forced her hand. Thus, you know, hopefully not making this a situation where she holds it against us. I don't know that I would expect her to like us better, but, you know.
All right. Yeah, I can go with that. That the negotiations that Barrowin has finished, or that Barrowin has concluded, they haven't quite gone the way that Vastrano had hoped, but they have concluded that, at least ostensibly, the 4 of you are on the job.
Yep, and presumably committed.
Thank you for taking this contract. I am very certain that the 4 of you will be able to see it through to its conclusion for everyone's benefit. I want to impress upon you the need for this to be done quietly and quickly. that for the four of you to be effective at acquiring the queen without extra contingencies happening, that the four of you working below the radar, as it were, would get a very unique chance to acquire this person for us.
We'll do everything we can to keep this professional and quiet.
Yes, it was very wise of you to select four individuals who nobody would really be paying attention to. It was very smart on your part.
And the Twi'lek is brought and placed in front of the four of you, two more stacks of matching credits.
All right. We will thank him.
And now I must wish you luck, and Porel will see you out.
The pleasure was absolutely ours.
Hopefully we'll be talking again soon.
That would put my mind well at rest.
Mr. Arno's gonna look at Barrowin, like, let's go.
Yeah, Barrowin will stand up, well, you know, take the credits and put them in whatever is convenient to put them in. And then, yeah, stand up, sort of to give the signal to everybody else that, like, we can go now. It's fine to... This is done. We can excuse ourselves.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Heroes of the Hydean Way. You can find show updates on Twitter at The Hydean Way, and I'm at Deuterium Ice.
You can find me, Christine, and Cav on Twitter at 12th Night. That's 12th and Night with a K.
You can find me, Brandon, at Blue of the Kin.
I'm Leslie at LeslieGS.
And you can find me, Britt, at Atomic Firebird.
We are at thehydeanway.com, where you can find previous episodes and our sister podcast, Tales from the Hydean Way.
Our podcasts are on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, and Google Podcasts, where you can find more episodes and help us out by rating and reviewing the show.
We're also on Facebook as Heroes of the Hydean Way. You can holocom us at heroes@thehydeanway.com.
And if you like what we do and want to support the show, you can find us at patreon.com/thehydeanway.
Or you can donate a calf to us at ko-fi.com/thehydeanway.
Zuckus is surprised to see Cav here, especially as a bounty hunter. Zuckus hopes that Cav is liking the profession. Zuckus is on a bounty that Zuckus thinks that this gan would be wanting to know about. Zuckus was called into a medical facility in the Centrality region. Zuckus found a most ingenious method of siphoning bacta from the tanks, not even showing that the bacta was missing. Tanks in the facility were so big that single use would probably not have shown missing bacta unless a full audit was done of every decaliter. Zuckus is very impressed with the method. Zuckus is also very disappointed with the two security beings that Zuckus is trailing because they were greedy. When Zuckus was brought in, the beings drained half a tank. Zuckus has found that while the two beings were greedy, they were not geniuses. Zuckus found the method of stealing the bact was alien to most mammalian species. On consultation with Gand on Gand, it seems to be a mechanical application of the way Gand feed youngling lungless. This method of large-scale hydraulic movement had not been considered before. When Zuckus had found a report of a Bacta shipment arriving on Gan shortly after the first reported case of theft, the progenitor to these greedy security beings, Zuckus knew that Zuckus had found the true technical genius. When Zuckus had looked into the records of the Genuine, Zuckus found that Cav had been credited with the delivery of the Bacta with no note of where it came from. Zuckus is going to have to report this to the Rustavi, but Zuckus knew that Cav would be here and wanted Cav to have the opportunity to set the record straight for Cav's own sake and reputation. The methodology that this Gand used was ingenious, as Zuckus has said. And if Cav were to come clean, Zuckus is sure that Cav would not have to worry about loss of status. But Cav's recognition for new acts will be tarnished. Zuckus is sorry about this Gant's plight, but Zuckus has to be honorable to all Gant. Zacchus will report that Cav now has Cav's IPKC, and Zacchus is sure that the Rustavi will be dispatched in this case to ensure that the bounties that Cav is credited with have, in fact, been cut by Cav and Cav's compatriots. Yours in the miss, Zacchus.